It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. You're about to enjoy the Ask Ross segment, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. For all your barbecue catering needs, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And I'd just like to say 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces their tailgate wines. Like all of our great rubs and sauces, and the way they barbecue meat, by the way. You'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all of our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com. They are your questions. Ask Ross. They will be his answers. Ross Tucker. Are you ready? Don't forget, top question of the week gets a 409 tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. Yes. Are you ready, Ross?
I am ready.
First one comes from Jim in Larksville, PA. I think you're going to like this. It's not really a question, but this is not so much question as a response. McGovernville. Yes, it's Jim McGovern. It is Connor McGovern's dad.
Oh.
We are loyal listeners to the Keystone Sports Network podcasts. And there is no offense taken in the questioning of the intellect of the Northeastern PA population. And then he has some fun stuff about Scranton and just his just up the line, couple two, 3 miles.
I know all about it.
Yeah. He said, and then he listed a few good Northeast PA Penn State alumni that he brought up. Geno Lewis, Paul Jefferson, Gus Felder, Naeem Wortman. He has a whole list here. I'll let you look at it. He's a Colgate grad, so he understands the Colgate-Princeton thing.
Oh, I didn't know he was a Colgate grad.
And he said, I just wanted to let you know, all of you, anytime you want to stop up to the Red Lot, game day, please come by McGovernville. Hashtag Route 66. Isn't that awesome?
Route 66.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
So
now I know why Connor McGovern's your man crush.
No.
Because
the
dad listens to the show.
I had no idea. I announced my man crush long before that.
All right. By the way, McGovernville. I like these guys, but we gotta do better than Naeem Wortman and Geno Lewis. I mean, we gotta do better.
Paul Jefferson. Come on.
Who's Paul Jefferson?
He was a fullback in 2003.
Joe Arcangelo. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah. I would just probably go with
Eric Shrive.
I'd go full throttle on Connor McGovern.
Yeah.
Or maybe go like Mike Munchak, you know, back in the day type of guys.
All right. First question that we're going to consider comes from Ryan in Omaha, Nebraska. He says, since Penn State has had problems in the short yardage situations, would it be beneficial for them to have a package in which you bring in a player with strength and attitude, like a guy like C.J. Thorpe to replace the tight end, you know, to give them a little extra push? Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's not uncommon to put an offensive lineman at tight end in goal line and short yardage situations. I did that. But that's kind of old school thinking a little bit. That's kind of old school, which is like three tight ends, batten down the hatches, just get beef up there. I think actually their better bet might be in those situations, and we've talked about this, to stay spread. Keep the defense out wide and spread them out a little bit, and then either throw it if they all converge in or run it with the quarterback more a little bit. Maybe Tommy Stevens is in on some of those plays. I don't think bringing in C.J. Thorpe is the answer, no.
Okay, let's go.
Because it's then zero threat of the pass.
Right. Zero threat. All right, let's go to Ty in Lincoln, Nebraska. He goes, wow. Hey, guys, I've recently moved into enemy territory. I listen to KSN on my commute, and it's been a lifesaver as a Penn State fan. Recently, I've had discussions with the locals in Lincoln, about Penn State sanctions and the success coming out of it, and it's got me thinking. I just wanted to throw out a couple things for you, Ross. So what if Bill O'Brien had stayed 4 years instead of two? What do you think about that? Would Hackenberg have possibly been a Heisman Trophy candidate? Does recruiting take off without James Franklin? And he says, and my favorite part is, who do you think would be the Penn State coach today? Interesting.
If Bill O'Brien never wanted to leave?
If he stayed there 4 years instead of two.
Well, then it would still be Franklin. I don't understand that part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, would Franklin still be the coach if O'Brien stayed 4 years?
Instead of two, yeah.
Probably not. Franklin probably would have gotten some other gig somewhere else.
I agree.
Within those 2 years and would not be the Penn State coach. I don't think Hackenberg would have won the Heisman. I think he would have been better than he was as a sophomore and junior because I think it would have been hard to be much worse. And he clearly played pretty well as a freshman. So I think he'd been better. I don't think he'd be a Heisman Trophy candidate. I think he had some major issues that nobody could ultimately fix or correct clearly to this point. He's not even on a roster right now.
Correct.
In the NFL after just 2 years. Kind of remarkable that nobody will even bring him in for as a camp arm. I would think somebody might do that over the next couple of days here, but I guess we'll see. I don't think the recruiting would have taken off under O'Brien like it has under Franklin. I think Franklin has a much better recruiting coaching staff than O'Brien had. You could argue maybe O'Brien had a better coaching staff. But, no, I don't think the recruiting would have taken off like it has under Franklin. I think that plays to Franklin's strengths, and O'Brien's strengths were probably more the X's and O's stuff.
Think Joe Moorhead's a coach?
I think that's a really good question because I don't think Joe Moorhead's at Penn State because Joe Moorhead's not calling plays with Billy O'Brien. Like, you know what I mean?
Correct.
There was no tie, I think, between Billy and Joe.
Right.
And the other thing is,
well, there was no tie between Joe and Franklin either. Franklin just had him on his list.
Yeah, they kind of got to know each other though when they were practicing for the Pinstripe Bowl, which would have been the 2014 season.
Correct.
They had some discussions because even in 2014, I think it had become a little bit apparent to James that John Donovan's offense was maybe a little bit, hey, how can we make this better? Were you ever thinking about, you know, not being a head coach, maybe being an OC? But, I mean, if Bill's the coach, you don't really see a dual threat quarterback. You don't really see Trace McSorley. You don't really see Joe Moorhead. You just – I don't know. So, and I even wonder about – so Saquon Barkley still goes to Penn State, but – I don't know that they use him, Billy would use him the way that Joe used him, especially in the passing game.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and tailgating catering needs. Check out the guys at 409tailgateclub.com. By the way, Ross, I had 409tailgateclub.com barbecue on Saturday at the event in Berwick. How was it? It was really, really nice.
I wanted to go. I was in Dallas. But
it was really nice.
Awesome.
We had a great time. Dustin and his family came up as well. We spent some time in Jim's pool. We had a nice day. We made a day of it.
So the party was at Jim's house? I thought it was
No, we went to Jim's house in the afternoon and swam and hung out and enjoyed each other. And then we went to the event.
I don't remember getting invited to that. I don't remember getting invited to Jim's house.
I'm just saying.
There should be a 409 tailgate thing next year at the McGovern's in Scranton next year. How about that?
409 in McGovernville.
McGovernville.
Hashtag Route 66.
Route 66.
I bet you he'd do it.
Their brisket was especially good this time. The wines were good and the band. I'm telling you, the band was just Berwick guys that were and a lead singer that was a female from two farms over was how they described her. Oh, she grew up two fields over. She could flat out belt. She did Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks songs that I was just like, wow. Okay, let's
keep
going.
She could flat out belt. I love it.
Flat out.
I guess that's a compliment.
Belt. All right. As a Penn State meteorology graduate, Carly in Ashburn asks, I'm curious if teams account for weather forecasts during planning at either the college or NFL level or if adjustments are made on the fly. Other than being more conservative, what specific adjustments are made for poor conditions? And what position group is affected the most? I like the last part of that question a lot.
They definitely account for the weather as early in the week as they can. If they know it's coming, they ideally want you to practice in it. And even sometimes they'll have you practice in it in training camp just so when you face that situation, you know, you can't account for snow, but precipitation, raining, storms, they want you to be prepared and to have been in that situation. I know some coaches will just, on a perfect day out, they'll just soak the balls. The balls will be totally soaked so that you're used to that. And probably the quarterback is most affected. receivers are up there. I can tell you, though, it was a pain in the butt as a center.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. I mean, I remember playing Arizona one time in Buffalo, and it was freezing rain, and it was hard. I have small hands, relatively speaking, so it was hard to get a grip on the ball. I think I, like, acted like I was putting my ankle tape on, and I would spray that sticky stuff on my hand just so I could grab
cheating.
The ball.
Cheating. You're saying cheating.
I don't think, you know, that's being resourceful, Bob. That's being resourceful. So that's a good question, though. Good question. That's probably the best meteorology, Ashburn.
All right. This one comes from Nick in Woolrich. No state. So I'm thinking Woolrich. That could be another Pennsylvania town. We don't know. But it's Nick in Woolrich asked, Dear Ross, if you could make one change to Beaver Stadium, what would it be?
Oof. They do sell beers now, right?
Only in suites, not to the general.
Oh, well, that's easy.
Can we go beyond beer? Can we go beyond daddy sodas for Ross in the stands?
I mean, that's clearly the one. Right.
Said every beer drinker that, ever.
I don't know. I guess maybe something around the outside. Maybe something around the facade rather than just the giant erector set that the other teams make fun of. That it's just kind of like people complain that there's no like substance to it. There's no style to it. It looks like something third graders made just to try to get this thing up rather than having like stone or brick. I'm sure they saved a bunch of money not having that much stone or brick. But it's not very aesthetically pleasing. So other than the beer, I would say that. Am I missing something?
No. I think you're right.
Oh, no. I just thought of it.
Is it the press box?
It's the radio booths in the press box. I did the Ohio State game a couple years ago. I think I'm doing a couple games this year. They're really bad.
The fans can always identify with this.
Yes, the window. Hey, they asked me my opinion. The windows are like this small and they're dirty and it's hard to see out of. That is clearly the one for me. So I'll let you pick, Andy, either the last one or meteorology major.
I'm going to go with Nick and Woolrich. I like the
if
you could change something.
You might be sending that to Guam. Japan. Yeah.
If you could change something about Beaver Stadium, it would be the outside facade. They did good on the change to Haluba, by the way, on the inside.
All right. You're paying for the shipping for that one, for Woolrich.
All right. Congratulations, Nick. Coming up, quarter number four. We finished strong. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.